Let's commend ourselves to the Lord. Our Father in God, we thank you for the privilege of being together again today. And as we are, we pray that it will please you to lend your presence to our midst. We pray that you will open our hearts, that we might understand, and our ears, that we might hear your voice and respond. And so we ask you to guide and speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we have been working in the Gospel of John. We dealt with a couple of the I am statements of the Lord Jesus. We know that he made at least seven of them. I am the bread of life. He says, I am the light of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life, and so much more. We pray that as we look at these points, that we will be genuinely edified and above all stimulated to get into the Word of God for ourselves and study the Word. That's what we're about here. We're not interested in, you know, giving sermons. We want to teach the Word of God, because that is what causes us to live and enjoy God. The Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We spend 95%, nay, 99%. At best, we spend 99% of our time taking care of things, engaged in activities that pertain to a life that is passing away. It has to have a profound effect on one's view of one's life. If he pauses to make a calculation and say, really, how lasting is what I'm doing? All right, the Word of God. What you plant in you, of the Word of God in you, is good for now, and it is good for eternity. You know something? This is God's Word, the unchanging God, his unchanging Word. And all through the ages of eternity, this is what will be the essence of our enjoyment. We're going to see then more clearly, more lucidly, all that God has already put in here. And we're going to enjoy it. So start enjoying it now. Start now. Don't just pick up your Bible and look at a verse, whatever verse comes up. And don't think, I've read my reading for the day, and so I've done my duty. You've missed your opportunity if you haven't really given yourself to it. Like the man in Psalm 1, he is our perpetual reference, the perfect man. But how does he get to be that way? The scripture says that he meditates in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate, he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I want to tell you, the more I study the Word of God, the richer I become. I become richer in my own personal substance, because God is filling my being with what he has already said. So I want to urge you to read the Word of God. Be a serious student of the Word of God, so that you want to dig out what God has to say. Well, we're right now in chapter 15, where the Lord Jesus presents himself as the true vine. And we have read those verses together more than once. I will just quickly refer to them now, and we'll go on with our session for today. I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Now, let me ask you, and you're going to help me with this, in this review, how is it possible for there to be a branch in the vine that does not bear fruit? He says, every branch in me, can we be in him and not bear fruit? What is meant by being in me here? I think we've gone over that and we've shared some teaching on that. I was hoping that I'd be able to get some of that back today. All right, so, well, we'll try to engage you in this, and so perhaps it'll remain with you. What is meant here by being in him, every branch in me, as he's speaking here? Now, Paul says in the epistles, you are in Christ. Of whom is he speaking there? There he's speaking about those who have entered into the life of God and who are enjoying the life of God. You are in Christ, Paul says. Here it's a little different. Here he is, the Lord Jesus is including, when he says in me, everyone who says that he is in Christ. He's taking them at their word. We have examples of that in Scripture. Can anybody think of perhaps some parable that illustrates that? Maybe some person that you can think of who is an illustration of that. The idea of the person saying that he's in Christ. This is not God saying that he is in Christ. That every individual who says, I'm going to attach myself to those who call themselves Christians, and I'll call myself a Christian.
John 8:31.
Share it with us.
So Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed him, yet later on, he says in verse 43, why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil.
So that there are those who attach themselves to him, those who attach themselves to the Christian community, but they do not really have what the Lord Jesus speaks about when he speaks about those who are bearing fruit. All right, look at verse 5 in the chapter of John 15, verse 5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now this verse speaks about the intrinsic, organic relationship between Christ and those who are true branches. Just as the Lord Jesus says here, I am the true vine, as opposed to a false vine, there are also true branches, as opposed to false branches. There are those who parade as branches, but they're not real branches. They're not true branches. They're false branches. So here he's saying, I am the true vine, but attached to me are branches that are not true branches. And what is the result? He says, in verses 1 and 2 again, he says, my Father, who is the vine dresser, he cuts away, takes away, he cuts off those who do not bear fruit. They don't bear fruit because they're dead wood. They don't bear fruit because they're dead wood. He cuts them off. And then there are those that are really alive, that are really true branches. They are in the vine. They're in Christ. What does he do to them? What does he do to them?
He prunes them.
To what end? So they can bear more fruit. So it's the vine that is alive that he cuts back. The vine, the branch that is dead, he cuts off. And what happens to it? Verse 6 tells us.
Gathered up.
It's gathered up and thrown out. Thrown into the fire. It's burned up. Now, that's, you see the picture here is the vine. And the vine, if it doesn't bear fruit, you can't take it down to the lumber place and say, yeah, I'll send you this, you can make furniture out of it or something of that sort. The vine is just not suited for that. It isn't that kind of thing that can be used for anything other. If it doesn't bear fruit, then it is only fit to be thrown out, burned. And so there are those who are feigning a connection with the true vine, but who are themselves not genuine branches. They're not true branches. Them the Father will cut off. They will be thrown away. They'll wither. They have no life. And they'll be put into, they'll be burned up. But those who are true branches, they have an organic connection with the vine. And because they have an organic connection with the vine, they are receiving continuously the flow of life from the vine, giving them life and the power to produce fruit. So when he says, then there are branches in me that are not bearing fruit, he's talking about those who artificially attach themselves to Christianity, and of them there is no want. They are everywhere to be found. And those who know the Lord have to know that it is true what the Lord Jesus said. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is genuinely mine. We need to be conscious of that, so that we don't allow that association to mar our testimony, whether as individuals or more particularly as a local church that represents the Lord Jesus. All right. He says to those who are genuine, he says, abide in me, and I in you. That is, remain closely connected to me. Now, that is not a person who has attached himself to the institution of Christendom. That is somebody who has derived life from God. The life of God has been imparted to him. And remember, that's what we said a Christian is. A Christian is not a person who has subscribed to a creed, to a set of beliefs. Not someone who has a contract with God in exchange for believing or subscribing to a creed, you will get salvation. No, it's not that mechanical. It is really having the life of God imparted to you so that you are one with the vine. You're a branch in the vine. So he says to those, he says, abide in me. Now, of course, it is inevitable that they will abide in him, because that is not something that they have done. It isn't that they have attached themselves. Those who attach themselves to Christ get weary after a time and eventually just abandon what they were associated with, because they have no investment in him. But those who are genuinely in him are there not because they attach themselves, but because God has placed them in Christ. And it is God who keeps them there. They can never be severed from him. And the Lord Jesus, when he, in the previous I am that we talked about, when he said, I am the good shepherd, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and they will never perish. Who are his sheep? His sheep are those whom God has placed in him. His sheep are not those who simply come along and say, ah, there's the crowd, I'll join myself to the crowd. That happens a lot in our time. You can stay home and turn on your television, and you will see places where there are hordes of people are marching in. Why? Well, this is the place to be. This is where everybody else is. Look at the crowds here. This is the biggest congregation I'm associated with it. And you wouldn't see one of them carrying a Bible, because the Bible isn't that important there. And the preacher doesn't particularly encourage it, because in fact, on the contrary, he encourages them not to pay much attention. Just come. Just get dressed and come. He will place, he will project on a board whatever verse he wants to show you or talk about. A verse that he will project and he'll talk about it without reference to the context from which it comes. And so you will be just vaguely aware of this saying, but you will have no connections for it in the Word of God, and you will take it out and you will apply it somewhere else too. That's the way people quote scriptures who have no interest in scripture, who never studied scripture, but who have heard here and there. We want to discourage that here, because we know that you need the life of God, and you cannot enjoy it without the Word of God. All right, I want to follow on with that statement with three verses, beginning at verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Now, let me pause there. Notice, the test of whether you really are his disciple is that you bear fruit. That proves that you are. And if you do not bear fruit, he's saying, there's no life there. They're cut off and thrown into the fire. So, my Father is glorified that you bear fruit, and that, and so you prove that you are my disciple. So if you see someone who claims to be his disciple but does not give any evidence of the fruit that results from the flow of substance from the vine to the branch, then you know that that's a dead, false branch. It's just sort of tucked in there. But it doesn't have any organic, any intrinsic connection with the source of life. And so it is dead and can never evince life. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. I skipped verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. Now, you see, abiding in him, the branches that abide in him because they are kept there by the one who put them there. It is God who keeps you in there. You can't get lost. You can't be disconnected. You can't be severed. But here now, we have not abiding, not in him, but in his love. That's human responsibility. Okay? Abiding in him, God enables. Does that. That's a divine act, that you abide in him. But now you are called to abide in his love. And how do you do that? It is, as he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now that's where God, that's where the Lord Jesus wants us. To be enjoying His love. And you do that by keeping His commandments. By doing what He says and loving obedience, doing what pleases God. Enjoying what pleases God. Incidentally, that is what a true branch does. A true branch actually seeks to please God out of loving obedience. A false branch appears to be trying to please God, and the struggle is so onerous that he can't wait to get rid of it. So, the Lord Jesus says, you abide in my love by keeping my commandments. And he says, the example for that, for you, is that I abide in my Father's love and keep his commandments. Let me turn you back also to a collaborative reference in the previous chapter, John 14, and I'm going to read from verse 21. He who has my commandment and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Notice this. He says he will reveal himself. He will unveil himself to those who love him. And who is it that loves him? The one who obeys his commandment. His commandments are not grievous, we're told. The true believer, the true branch, just enjoys doing what is right before God. He does it not out of duty, not out of coercion, but out of delight. Like the man in Psalm 1, his delight is in the law of the Lord. He wants to do the Lord's bidding. He wants to do what the Lord wants him to do. I tell you, there is joy that flows in train with that. And that's what we have also in chapter 15. It says, these things in verse 11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you. That my joy may be in you. Do you have joy as a Christian? The false branch will not have any joy. The false branch will find it completely onerous, intolerable. But the Lord says, I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. If you don't have the life of God, you will not be able to enjoy the joy of God. And joy is to be distinguished from happiness, mind you. People are looking for happiness, but you ask them how they hope to achieve it, and it's always associated with circumstances. Give me favorable circumstances. Give me pleasant happenings, and I will be happy. But if you're going to have joy, that has to be given to you from above. He says, from the Word of God, he says, I've spoken to you that your joy, that you might have joy, and that your joy might be full. It's a wonderful thing to delight in the law of the Lord. It is directly associated with keeping his commandments, keeping his law. And that's what this man in Psalm 1 does. He is delighted is in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord, he doesn't see it coming and cringe and say, go somewhere else. No. He sees it coming and he runs toward it. He wants to please the Lord. And you have that in the example of the Lord Jesus, who said to his disciples, he says, my pleasant food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. And so may it be for each of us a pleasant thing to contemplate the law of God and to do what he says to do. That flows out of keeping close to him. Now, he associates it with his word. So if you're not in the word, you're not going to be able to enjoy that. Get into the word of God. Now, we have one more point that we have to make with regard to this, and that is, what is the fruit that we are to bear? The fruit that should appear on the true branches. The false branches will have no fruit. But the true branches will have fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. They won't all be equally abundant. Some will bear more than others, but all will bear. And there you recognize that I am referring you to the parables of the sower, where the Lord Jesus says that there were four types of grounds on which the seed fell. He said there was the ground on which it just stayed on top, and the birds of the air took it. There was the stony ground where it didn't have much root, and so it came up quickly. And then there was the ground in which it appeared to have some immediate response, but it didn't have what it took to withstand the rigors of the sun, and so they all produced nothing. But in the end, there was that fruit, that those seed that fell into the ground and that bore fruit. They were the true seed. They would be representative of the true branches that bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. But all bear fruit. So if you're not bearing fruit, you're not in the vine. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you will give us an appetite for it and an apprehension of it and a willingness to answer the demands of it, that we might be like the man of Psalm 1 who delights in the law of the Lord. Amen.